Hi, I'm Yona Stamatis, host of the NPR Illinois Special Arts Broadcast of the Illinois Symphony Orchestra. Joining me now for a brief conversation is Maestro Ken Lamb in a special sneak preview of the Illinois Symphony Orchestra's dazzling debut concert, Saturday, October 28th at 7:30 p.m. in Sangamon Auditorium. This concert is certainly a dazzling debut. Maestro, welcome to Springfield, and my congratulations to you on your position as the new music director of the Illinois Symphony Orchestra.
Well, thank you, Yona. It's great to be here, and I can't wait to start rehearsals.
Oh, my. I know that your arrival has made quite a splash here in Springfield. I hope you've been enjoying your time as a...
Oh, I don't know about the splash thing, but I certainly have been enjoying myself. It's meeting a lot of people and... getting down to work.
Well, you have an extraordinary season planned. I've heard a bit about what you've got in store for us. Would you share some of the highlights?
Yeah, well, of course, we're going to talk about this coming concert this weekend, but some of the other concerts are really interesting, too. We have, for instance, a concert that features the organ, the pipe organ, as the main instrument. We're going to be playing Saint-Saëns, really monumental organ symphony, and the Poulenc organ concerto. And what is interesting is that I don't think Sangamon Auditorium has an organ.
I don't think so.
Built.
I was just going to point that out. I hope
That's
you've not
right.
made a programming error.
No, well, this young German organist is, he's been a child prodigy, you know, forever. And he has an organ builder company sponsor him. So they actually put the organ in a trailer, and he drives around the country with it.
Oh, my goodness.
So he's performed this program with major orchestras, so it would be very interesting. I'm looking forward to see how the setup is. But for a change, usually when you have an organ soloist, you don't see the organ, because it's in a church, is often built in the gallery or whatever it is. But this is going to be right on stage, occupying the soloist spot, so it's going to be very interesting. We have also, in December, for the first chamber orchestra concert, two soloists. Welcoming them to Central Illinois is Robin Bollinger, who's a violinist, who I met, I think, oh goodness, when she was probably only 12 years old in Aspen, when I was a student there. And she's playing the Piazzolla, the tango version of the Four Seasons. And the countertenor Daniel Moody is coming to sing Vivaldi concert arias, and the countertenor voice is of course very special. That's a male alto, and this particular countertenor has an incredible voice, and it fills the entire hall or church. And he's a really fine musician and artist.
And this concert, as I understand, is the chamber concert, so it takes place in the smaller church-like
That's
setting,
right.
So it's sort of more intimate.
Really, suitable for this kind of thing. You know, you don't want to hear Vivaldi arias in a huge auditorium.
Yes.
So that's another one. And of course, at the end of the season, I'll just highlight one more concert. The pianist Stephen Huff playing the first Brahms piano concerto and the Pastoral Symphony of Beethoven. Probably one of the foremost pianists of the world.
An interpreter of Brahms, of course.
Yes.
Wonderful. And the season opens with an aptly titled dazzling debut. And I know the first piece was specially composed in your honor. Would you tell us a bit about this work?
I wish Mark was here to talk about the piece. But Mark Reum is our librarian, but of course he is a librarian during the day. He has a master's in composition, and that's what he's really passionate about. As you know, most composers have to find
a
living somewhere. So we're lucky to have him as our librarian. But apparently throughout the season, last season, he has been jotting down little ideas from all the pieces that I've been performing with the Illinois Symphony, and this is completely, you know, I did not know this. And after I was selected as music director, I got an email from him and said, hey, I wrote this piece, and it's a short fanfare. I'd love to dedicate this to you as you start a new chapter of the Illinois Symphony. Would we be interested to play it? And I looked at a piece. It's very, you know, fresh and very energetic. And so we thought, well, you know, let's do it. So I think it's going to be a very interesting first for certainly for Mark. And you know, what better thing can happen to a composer than having his work played by a symphony orchestra? So
absolutely.
I think it's really great.
And what better welcome for your arrival, combining past, present, and future so beautifully in one composition. That's
it's
fabulous.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun.
Now, it seems from leafing a bit through the program that musical nationalism might be a theme that ties together the rest of the concert.
Yeah.
Tell us what else you have in store.
Well, you're quite right. I mean, these composers, Smetana, Bartok, and Tchaikovsky, are all involved in the national, the search for a national identity of their respective countries. You know, Bartok famously, you know, collected a lot of folk songs. Smetana also used Czech folk melodies in his, really he's the really first Czech composer. You know, he wrote a folk based opera, which is the Bardic Bride. You know, which is you find a lot of melodies and dances in this, really a folk tale. And Tchaikovsky, of course, you know, he was caught in the middle between the nationalistic movement and the more traditional training, which is of composers, which come from Central Europe, who come from Germany, really.
So the Smetana, the Bartered Bride, you're performing the overture, and I understand that the Czech Republic at the time was still just a dream, or a nationalist dream. So what an interesting composition.
I think so. You know, of course, the piece itself is extremely energetic, and it's one of the showpieces for orchestra. It's very, very difficult for the strings. It's basically a 16th note runs all over the place, and it's it, as an overture, it was written before the, you know, usually the composers write the overture last, when they had all the themes and so on. But this one's written before the a lot of the opera is written, so it's just a very interesting. But you can hear folk inspired music in there.
And the opera is supposed to portray the lives of everyday folk.
Indeed. So this is, you know, what Smetana was known for, really the first Czech composer. It's a great piece, little piece of music, and it sort of wakes everyone up.
It's quite a workout for the musicians. Piece of music, the Bartok, the third piano concerto. You've invited a very wonderful pianist.
Yeah, his name is Ran Dank. He's Israeli. He lives in the States now, but I had the good fortune of doing the second Brahms piano concerto with him a few seasons back. And just a very thoughtful musician, very beautiful touch, and it's just a kind of qualities that you need for this Bartok third piano concerto, which of course Bartok did not write this for himself to play. He wrote it for his wife. Now Bartok wrote the first two piano concertos for himself, and he is a phenomenal pianist, but the first two piano concertos were just technically impossible to play, and it's just so wild and percussive and difficult. Now this third one is very, very Bartokian, but it brings out the more lyrical side of Bartok. It still has all the counterpoints and rhythmic power that you have before, but everything is just scaled down a little bit. It actually has a tune that people can hum along to. In a second movement, in a slow movement, it has this hymn. Bartok was sick at the time, you know, and like Beethoven, who wrote the famous the hymn just for Thanksgiving, he wrote this hymn maybe hoping that, you know, he will get better. In Beethoven's case, he did get better. In Bartok's case, he never really recovered from his illness.
He never really managed to complete the composition.
Well, he left the last 17 bars, not orchestrated, but it was in his shorthand. So his student actually completed for him. But it wasn't like, you know, he left two works basically not really finished, a viola concerto as well. But this one, the 17 bars at the end of the third movement, basically the very end at the coda, he wrote enough out that it wasn't really a problem. You don't really have to guess, you know, like Mozart Requiem. You know, people complete it. You know, actually Mozart couldn't finish it in the middle of a movement. But this one, you actually know what Bartok was supposed to write. So all his student was doing was just to write it back out. So and his wife didn't actually play it for some time. It was again one of his students who took it up, and after Bartok's death.
Wow, I imagine it must have been difficult for her at the moment.
Yeah, no, I can imagine too. But this is an incredible piece of music, and you know, Bartok. I love Bartok, and I'm sure orchestras love Bartok. And this is probably some audience find Bartok difficult sometimes, but this is probably the most accessible Bartok. You know, you can actually hum a melody. You can actually, you know, follow the line because it's not as dense as some of the other stuff.
And the concert ends with another work that's quite accessible, the Fifth Symphony, not of Beethoven, but of Tchaikovsky. Tell us about this work.
Yeah, I mean, this must be a symphony that is one of the most popular symphonies of all time. Right?
Absolutely.
And I'm sure you've played it many, many times, and I've done it a few times, and I think the magic of this symphony, you know, you can approach a symphony at many levels. If you look at Tchaikovsky's life at this point, he's a sad person. You know, he's depressed a lot of times, and he really wrote the Fifth Symphony to express a lot of the angst that he has. But you can also approach a symphony just by the sheer beauty of the melodies, the sheer beauty of the orchestration. You know, that wonderful horn melody in the second movement, probably the best horn melody ever written. And the incredible thing of Tchaikovsky, you know, he was a great writer of melodies. He probably is not the best developer of melody in the German sense. So when he writes a long, beautiful melody, and then usually if it's Beethoven, he would develop it, you know, break it down and develop ideas. What Tchaikovsky does, he doesn't really have to do that because the melody's so great, he just repeats it, gives it to another instrument, and just reorchestrates it. Here, let's have the melody again, but violin will play it. After that, let's do it again. You know, let's have the winds play it. And it works because the melody is such an incredible thing. It can stand on itself. And that's the beauty of Tchaikovsky. Vivid imagination as to colors and orchestration and wonderful tunes that we can all hum.
It's beautiful. Do you think people make too much of a deal of the fate ideas connected with this symphony?
Oh, I think, I can talk about this fate motif for an hour if we like, but it's, there's this fate. Well, what is the fate motif? There are two kind of versions. The one is the famous, the fate knocking on the door, this bum, 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 you know, that Beethoven so famously wrote in his Fifth Symphony. And we have lots of the ba-ba-ba-bum in the Fifth Symphony of Tchaikovsky as well. And the Symphony of Tchaikovsky famously finishes with this fate knocking on the door. Now, the other fate motif is what you hear at the very beginning of the symphony, this fate menacing over Tchaikovsky. And you hear this fate motif in different guises throughout the symphony and in different movements. And it's the same idea. It's the idea that inspired Berlioz in the Symphonie Fantastique. There's this recurring thing that keeps coming back, and in Tchaikovsky, every time it comes back, it haunts Tchaikovsky in different ways. And in the last movement, it seems like it's like a victory march, but it's of course not Tchaikovsky's victory. It was the victory of fate over Tchaikovsky.
Wow.
So it's actually quite a dark ending, and we all know what it leads to. What it leads to is the Sixth Symphony, the Pathétique, where Tchaikovsky is literally being dragged into hell, and so the Fifth Symphony is the triumph of fate over the person, over the composer, and so you have fate laughing back at Tchaikovsky at the end of the last movement. So the way we're going to play it this week, it's a special way, you know. It's this almost has to take in the character of a danse macabre. It is going to be manic. It's going to be crazy, almost so crazy that it falls apart. But it can't, of course, it cannot fall apart. So we're going to, it's like the Symphony Fantastique, mm-hmm. like that last movement, you know, the same sort of idea. So, and it's of course in what key? It's in E minor, which in Tchaikovsky and knows that E minor is the key of death.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have fun exploring that aspect of the symphony too.
Boy, I cannot wait for this concert. Thank you so much for taking the time to come in and speak with us. Maestro Ken Lam will conduct the Illinois Symphony Orchestra in his debut performance as music director this Saturday, October 28th at 7:30 p.m. in Sangamon Auditorium. The program includes works by Smetana, Riom, and Tchaikovsky, and features renowned Israeli pianist Ron Dunk in Bartok's third piano concerto. For tickets, visit the Illinois Symphony Orchestra website at ilsymphony.org. I'm Yonah Stamatis. Thank you for listening. I'll see you at the concert.